you withhold that. That's not a good thing. And God, Jesus himself in a parable says, you know, if you see your neighbor is naked and hungry and you don't give him, there is no love in you. There is no love in you. So I see that these people, the whole world is lost because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means the people in Liberia. That means the people in Gabon. That means the people in Russia, Moscow, England, Germany, China, Mozambique, the islands of the Pacific, Canada, Mexico, United States. The whole world needs to hear of Jesus Christ and needs to hear of that free gift of salvation. And so with that, that's why we go. But the where there is no vision, the people perish. If you don't have a vision to see these lost people won, you'll never see them won. There's a, anyone here ever get the Farmer's Almanac with all of its farmer's parables and proverbs and such in it? And there was one in there that said, fields you never see produce you no harvest. If anyone here likes to look at maps or likes to look at the world through Google Maps, there's a program online that's called Google Maps. You can get a satellite imagery of anywhere in the world. So obviously the first place you go is your own home. And you look at it from the aerial view. But if you were to go to Pennsylvania on Google Maps and you just zoom out and you get the satellite imagery of Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania has this awful whitish yellow rash going all through it. And it takes up most of the state. This awful white yellow rash. And you say, well, what in the world is that rash? Well, you zoom in and you zoom in and you zoom in and you look on their cornfields. They're hay fields. And the idea is that when you have land, you have property, you can use it to produce a crop. You can go, you can work that land, you can plant the seed, and then if you take care of it, you know, by the fall you'll have corn to eat and grain for bread and other such things. And so Pennsylvania has done a really good job, at least as far as Google Maps is concerned, of just field after field after field after field after field. You can take a trip out, go out to Rose Valley Lake, and as you're going, you'll see empty cornfields and fields that are going to be planted soon, and just, they're all over. Well, the same sort of truth can be applied to the way you live a Christian life and the way you evangelize and the way you reach out to people. You see, you have your home and your family, and they might all come to church, and that's great, that's wonderful. But then you have a neighbor who is a plot of land on this side and a neighbor on this side. And if you live out in the country, they're over here and over there, you know. Out in the country, you know, you got your elbow room. Here in town, it's more, might be a little more easily manageable. I don't know. But you can look at those people and you can say, look, they are souls that Jesus Christ loved, that he died for, and that are going to spend an eternity in one of two extremes, either the extreme of hell or the extreme of heaven. And there is no in between. And you can say, Lord, give me this land, give me this field that I will work it for your honor and for your glory. Give me a heart to reach out to my neighbors, those across the street, those next to me, those the next neighborhood over. And begin to branch out, because God has placed every one of us in a key location for his plan and for his glory. Paul, when he stood on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, he talks about how the God that made the world and all things in, he's not worshipped with temples or with hands as though he need anything, seeing that he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he talks about how God hath ordained, he has set our, I'm just going to actually turn there. You can turn to John chapter 4 while I turn to Acts chapter 17, and I'll read from there, and then I'll join you in John. I don't want to misquote it. That's the reason I'm turning there. But in Acts 17, the Bible says, oh, in 17:24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he need anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So what he is saying here is that God has put you in this time, in this place, so that you would be able to work for his glory and reach out to your neighbors, who God has put there for you to reach. Paul would talk to Timothy and he would say that, you know, we are his handiwork. We are his craft, we are the handiwork of his craftsmanship, and that he has set a race for us to run, and he has given us jobs to do and tasks that we should fulfill. And part of that is to go out and to preach the gospel to every creature. When we stretch our vision, we get to see the people around us. God begins to make our heart want to see them saved. God wants to have them in heaven with you. Now, you might not want them for your barbecue, but invite them for a barbecue. You might think, oh, well, this neighbor is mean. This neighbor isn't nice to me. Most people on earth aren't going to be nice to you. But that can all change if you show them that you love them and you show them that you care. And we kind of stretch our vision outside of just our own little house. I'm not sure I should have looked at the sign still up there when you leave the church. You are now entering the mission field. Is that sign still up there in front of the door? I'm not sure. Okay, we don't know yet. But it's true. As soon as you leave these walls, you're entering the mission field. There are lost souls all around here. And thanks to the college, they supply us with fresh new souls that are ready to receive Christ on a yearly basis. And I'm so thankful again that the church has their, ability to witness to those college students, to have the college ministry in the fall and that truck pull. I was sad I got to miss it. I heard it was a great one that a lot of people come out. And I think it gets progressively bigger every year, hasn't it? Oh yeah. So it's a wonderful opportunity and I'm glad that God has put us here, but he has put us here so that we can reach them. They are our neighbors now, and we need to be able to witness to them and reach them with love and kindness. And as God would lay it on your heart, see what he will have you to do to also reach them, as well as to your neighbors and everything else. You can turn all of this city into one giant harvest field for Christ. Right. This church can do it. You can do that. And here's the best part of when you're working with these people. The best part is when you're physically planting a garden, You can get an apple, you can eat the apple, take the seeds and grow a new tree. But it doesn't work the same way in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, when your ministry begins to produce fruit in the hearts and lives of other people, they don't just become fruit, they become more laborers that will then go out and to win more and to witness to more, who will themselves become laborers and begin to work and work and work. So it's a lot better in the spiritual realm than in the physical realm, because an apple tree only produces you more apples and produces you more work. It doesn't give you more workers to work the field. God does provide that for us. In John chapter 4, looking at verse 27, Jesus has just gotten done speaking with the woman at the well. She understands who he is and what he is there to do, and she drops her water pot, or puts it down. It doesn't break, she just puts it down. And then she goes back into the city to gather all the people she can to come and hear Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so, as she's leaving, the disciples are coming back in verse 27, and upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith unto men, come see a man which told me all things that I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Wherefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish the work. Say not ye that there is yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And therein is the saying true, that one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. There have been Christians before us who have been here in Williamsport and gave out gospel tracts that have witnessed to people, that have told them about Christ. Very few opportunities do you get to actually go in and start a brand new work. That's one of the key things that we are going to have in Gabon, Africa, is because almost the entire population is biblically illiterate. They have no idea about some of these things, and we've got to start from creation and go straight through to Christ. And then when they understand Christ, we go back to creation and go back through to Christ, because now they're going to see Christ throughout all the Old Testament. And then we go into the New Testament. And there's a way you can build a firm foundation for people. And then they have what is available for you. You can actually just go out and witness to them and bring them to church. And see, I believe that the Lord will honor and bless that for you. But you need to stretch your vision a little bit. You need to be able to begin to see what things are possible, what things are able to do. One of the things that challenges my wife and I every year, we have to go back to the mission board and we have to tell them what are our goals for the next year. And if we make goals that seem like they're achievable, or I should say easily achievable, they're not satisfied. When you work with God in the ministry, and I have to add that qualifier, if you're going to work with God in the ministry, you can't set goals that you yourself can do alone. You need to set goals that you can only do through Christ. And that's what we're doing. You say, who's going to take a farm boy from Pennsylvania, send him off into Africa, and expect him to do any great work? Well, God. And see, it's not me. It's going to be God. You see, if I go over there and I try to claim the fields and the fruit for myself, it's not going to bode well for me. But if I go over there and I work because God's already at work and I'm entering into his work, then he's going to receive the honor and glory for my life. Amen. The most blessed thing when you get to travel around and see things like the Lord has blessed me and my wife to do is we get to go places in Africa. We get to see places in Europe. We get to see places all around America. Christians you don't even know exist, who one day in heaven you will meet for the very first time. And we get over there and we're saying, you know, there's very little gospel presence here, and you see God's already at work. He's got the gears turning. He's opening up the fields. He's beginning to plow out the opportunities to get, when my wife and I get there, he's going to have things ready for us to go and do. Because he's already in the work. He's already in the fields. He already can see from heaven all the fields and all the possibilities. Are you stretching your vision? Are you stretching your vision? Are you seeing what you can do for him? You say, well, I'm just going to do this little thing. And that's great. But God wants you to do a bigger thing for him. Try accomplishing something that only he can do through you. Right. Pray that he would do it for his glory. And then as you work, you'll see him open up doors that you could never open. You'll see opportunities that you could never manufacture. And you will see key people saved and key events take place because it is God that does the work. And then when we get to heaven, you and I together will cast our crowns at his feet and praise him and honor him and glorify him for what great things he hath done. Right. Dear Father, we're so thankful again. This opportunity is something that you have given us. But it is you who have already prepared the opportunity in advance for us. You have established the bounds and times of our habitation. You have established the work. You have put eternity in the hearts of men. You have given us the Great Commission and a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You have given us the cure for sin, the cure for death, hell, and the grave. You have given us a wonderful opportunity, and the price was paid in full. Lord, let us not waste the opportunity. Let us not gamble away the chances that we have. Let us try to do great things for you now. And as a steward must be first found faithful, let us be faithful in what you have given to us. Though it be small, you will reward us both openly and with more. Lord, may we apply these things to our hearts and lives, that we glorify you and you receive it. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.